Yeah, this is a few photos of me as a child, because I've talked about being a child of God today. And you can see that in the bottom one, I'm wearing a flat cap because I'm a really cool kid. I feel like this is the picture that like destined me to be a youth worker. So my name is Amy. Just a little introduction about myself. And a fun fact, I was trying to think of a really cool fun fact about me and what I came up with. So today I'm wearing a New Zealand t-shirt that my sister bought me from New Zealand. And last time I actually wore an Australia t-shirt that mum had from Australia. So I'm kind of trying to do this thing where I collect t-shirts from all over the world. But yeah, so far I've got two. I don't know if that qualifies as a fun fact, but at least it gives you the understanding that I'm a fan of humble beginnings, and that therefore I am humble. Anyway, moving on. So I work for a charity called Gobyeth Mourn, and we're basically a youth initiative on Anglesey, just across the bridge, and we run through the churches, and what we're trying to do is spread hope, spread God's love across the island. And yeah, I get the joy of doing that day by day, and seeing youth kind of be restored from perhaps brokenness in their life. And a big thing that I recognized that I talked about last time was this issue of fatherlessness. And here are the statistics that we have from the Anglesey, from a portion of kids that we saw that in 2015, 33% of them identified as being from broken homes. And then it went up to 54% in 2016. And then this year, it was 53%. And on the back of what I was talking about last time, I just want to kind of start talking and unpacking it a little bit more about what that does to identity. Because we know from the Bible that kind of God gives us our identity, but a lot of the time we don't live out of that place. We live out of our past and the things that have happened to us. And really, your family is the first place that you belong. When you're born, you belong to your family before you belong to a school or a sports club or anything like that. And when perhaps that belonging in a family is broken, then it actually causes a crisis in identity. And you don't know whether you belong. And belonging is a huge part of what we need as human beings. I'm going to skip that. So we're just looking at the church, and it's kind of got an organization versus a church, and what is a church supposed to be? An organization, they agree on everything, and if you don't agree, then you're out. But God doesn't operate as a dictator, but as a father, and we are his children. And the family of God should be inclusive and not exclusive. And people crave community. We are made to belong. We want to be part of something bigger than just ourselves, whether it's a hobby or a club or whatever that looks like. And part of what makes us human is our need to belong. And identity issues arise when we don't feel like we do belong. So as the church, we're a family and we're fathered by God. And that's amazing. But whether you have an amazing family at home, I have amazing family, and whether you have issues in your family, you still probably will at some point in your life go through a bit of a crisis in identity, because we're human and we're insecure, and that's that. And I'm just going to tell you a quick story about when I was in South Africa. There's a picture of me with some kids, and I was doing a class on identity in older years. I think they were teenagers, and we were kind of talking about how God created us and he loves us and he created us like with purpose and all these great things. And one of these South African kids, like a bit of a smart mouth, and she says, I'm working with two other volunteers, and she says to the first volunteer, she says, Miss Leanne, why are you so short? And Miss Leanne was like, because God made me that way. That was lovely. So it's my next colleague, Miss Tori, why do you have such curly hair? And Miss Tori's like, because God made me that way. And I'm waiting for mine. I'm going to be like, what is it? Amy? Why? Miss Amy, why is your hair so golden? Miss Amy, why are your eyes so sparkly blue? And what I got is Miss Amy. Such a big nose. Being in youth work, you actually quite often identity challenged. People will say, move this. Sweet. You kind of just have to remix or something. It's going. You have things said kind of your choice. That thing you beatboxing behind me, like. Oh, okay. Well, if you preferred the with the kind of a beat at the back, just let me know for next time, and I'll make my own, and I'll do some spoken word. But I haven't got anything that rhymes today. But before we go ahead, we're gonna read from Galatians. I'm gonna get Emily. She's the new intern for Gobyeth Moore, and she's gonna come and she's gonna read from Galatians 3:26 to 4:9.
For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Oh, it's a car. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything, but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son in our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Formerly, you did not know God. You were enslaved to those that by nature are not gods. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more?
Great. So I'm just going to unpack a few things from that that you might be curious about. First of all, it says a bit about being a child of Abraham. And you might be confused by what it means to be a child of Abraham. I know my dad's name is Steve, not Abraham, so it's a bit confusing. But Abraham was a man who was told that through him that all nations will be blessed. So as a child of Abraham, we inherit the blessing promised to Abraham if we live by faith. And that for Paul, when he was writing, he was intending it to be, before that was just for Jews. And he was kind of saying, that's not just for Jews, that's for everyone. That we can all be child of Abraham with his inheritance. And the next thing is about being a son. So some translations don't like the idea of saying sonship. They prefer to say children of God. But in the same way the church is the bride of Christ, it goes for both genders. And in the context of the Bible, telling them that they are sons would mean that they were entitled to the inheritance as a son of God. Just lastly, when it's talking about elementary principle, there's a quote from an article that says, you see, the Galatians were formerly pagans, which is why Paul mentions that they were enslaved to things that were not gods or things that were not the true living God. But through Paul's preaching and their hearing, the Galatians joyfully received the truth of the gospel and seem to experience the freedom of having the Holy Spirit sealing them as adopted sons of God. However, after Paul left, the false teachers came in, and now the Galatians were turning back towards the state of spiritual slavery They had once again adopted a system of spirituality that was weak and ultimately worthless. So kind of the crux of what I'm doing tonight is looking at our lives, and I'm going to look at it through analogy of us being a tree. And when you look at a tree, what makes a tree beautiful is the outside of what the tree is. So the leaves and the branches, so that's the thing that our eyes are are drawn to, and that's the thing that we can see. So the leaves are the things that are external. And so for our lives, there are some things that we would have that are external. So our families, our friendships and relationships, our work, what we do, our financial status, hobbies, church, ministry, Christian stuff, all of those things people can see and people can look into that part of your life. And I'm going to be looking at being rooted in different areas. And the first area I'm going to be looking at is what Paul was saying when he was saying a slave to the world. So the roots, when we're looking at this tree analogy, are basically our beliefs. It's a belief system. And whether you believe in God or you don't believe in God, you have a belief system. No one believes in nothing. And so what makes our beliefs are what makes us think implicationally. The more we know, the more we are able to articulate what we think, because we know what we believe and why we believe it. And our belief system is shaped by the world which we grow up in and the people we surround ourselves by. So what does it look like to be then rooted in our culture / what the world looks like? So the first thing is we're selfish and we idolize ourselves. We believe that every feeling that we should be acted upon, no matter what the consequences are. So just to give you an example of this, I would eat McDonald's every day if it wasn't bad for me. But what stops me doing that and giving in to my every desire in that aspect is that knowing that it's not good in the long run. So we're not supposed to, we weren't meant to act on every single feeling that we have. It's selfishness. The next one is rooted in fear, especially the fear of not being successful. We don't understand that our value comes from God and being a child of God and not anything external, then we'll be constantly trying to find our value for ourselves. Therefore, if we don't succeed in our job, in our family, in our hobbies, we'll feel insecure and unworthy. We believe our next success will give us that value we desire. We're always looking forward to something more. I'll be happy if I earn this much. I'm single, so I'll be happy when I'm in a relationship. I'm not happy in a relationship, so I'll be happy when I'm engaged. You'll never be happy if you're just relying on something, the next best thing, to make you happy and give you value. Madonna says, "My drive in life comes from a fear of being mediocre. It's always pushing me. I push past one spell of it and discover myself as a special human being, but then I feel I'm still mediocre and uninteresting unless I do something else. Because even though I've become somebody, I still have to prove that I am somebody. My struggle has never ended, and I guess it never will." I mean, you see what Madonna has and the life that she lives, and that's one of the most heartbreaking things that anyone has ever said, that she just never feels worthy. She never feels good enough. She is always, always striving. But that's what happens when we don't know our value and we don't know that we are a child of God. And another thing that the world is rooted in, and especially I think that this is quite relevant to today, is that there is no absolute truth. And uncertainty breeds anxiety. And when people are rooted in the fact that there is no truth, they'll begin to make up their own truth about things, using our own morals as guidance. and what is right and wrong. However, if we live without truth, there'll be implications. I'm just going to do a story to present that, but so I'm just going to pretend this isn't real, but I'm just going to pretend. So tomorrow morning, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to decide, because there's no truth, that it's opposite day. Did you ever do that as kids? Opposite day, like to get out of something? You told me to do it, but I didn't do it because it's opposite day. So I'm going to wake up tomorrow, it's opposite day. So I have my dinner for breakfast and that kind of thing. And then I'm driving to work and I get to a red light. But I'm like, that red light's going to hold me back. It's opposite day. I'm going to go straight through it because there is no truth. There obviously is consequences and implications to that, and not nice ones. When we go away from truth, especially the truth of what the Bible says and what God says about us, there are negative implications, and they're awful and be terrible. And it's, yeah, we need those boundaries. We need God to give us that guidance and to give us truth. Otherwise, it's an awful society. It's an awful world to live in. So the tree trunk, I didn't explain this before, but the tree trunk, I'm using in this analogy as being what we value. So what we value when we're rooted in the world or the culture that we live in, we value others' opinions and the image of ourselves that we portray. And that comes from our selfishness. We value our own morality and our own judgment. That comes from our lack of truth. And we value creating value for ourselves. And it comes from our fear. So then what do our families, our relationships, our work, our finances, our hobbies, our church, what do they all look like if we're rooted in our culture and in the world? So our family and relationships, we'll put tons of pressure on our family and relationships to look successful. Our financial status, believing you'll be happy once you earn a certain amount and always, always striving for more. Our work, our school, we have anxiety and work. Work is meant to serve you, not you serve work. Our hobbies, we throw ourselves into our hobbies, trying to find our identity in that. I have a bit of a story about that. That's something that I do quite a lot. If I get a new hobby, I take it a bit too far sometimes. I can quite easily idolize things. And one thing that I did for ages and what I found my identity in was being a sea swimmer. Being a wild swimmer, as I like to call it, but it was just in the sea in Aberystwyth, so it wasn't that wild. And I remember in my last year of uni, I went every single week into the sea, whatever the conditions were, I went in, even if it was freezing cold. And after uni, I got a job in Bradford, which there was no sea anywhere near. And I just remember just being so gutted because I thought I was going to lose my identity. I thought I was going to lose that thing that made me unique and special. And like that me being a sea swimmer was the thing that everyone liked me for. And if I was going to lose that, then I'd lose everything. And it was just ridiculous. And it really highlighted to me how much of my identity I put into that. Our church, our ministry, our Christian stuff, if we're trying to do this in our own strength, it's not going to fail overnight. I work in ministry, and I know that perhaps I could do it for a little while in my own strength, but I know that sooner or later that a storm will happen, something's going to go wrong, and if I'm doing things in my own strength, then the whole thing will fall apart. And perhaps we even fear failure so much that we don't take a risk ever, that we just live in our safety zone. So I'm just going to ask you just to take a second to think, where in my life am I rooted in the world? Am I trusting myself over God? Do I need to be in control all the time? And am I still striving to prove my worth? So the next one is being a slave to religion. Tim Keller says, the religious person is as lost as the irreligious person. And being rooted in religion is also very dangerous. We see in the story of the prodigal son, I kind of mentioned that story last time as well, the very moral son who stayed with his father and worked for him didn't join in the party at the end. They both wanted the father's inheritance, but not the father. But the prodigal son knew that how far he was from the father, and he came back and he repented, but his brother didn't, and he stayed outside in anger. So what does it look like to be rooted in religion? So first of all, insecurity in a relationship with God, never really knowing where they stand. And there's a quote here from Dynamics of Spiritual Life. Christians who are no longer sure that God loves them and accepts them in Jesus, apart from their present spiritual achievements, are subconsciously, radically insecure persons, much less secure than non-Christians because of their constant bulletins they receive from their Christian environment about the holiness of God and the righteousness they are supposed to have. Their insecurity shows itself in pride, a fierce defensive assertion of their own righteousness, and defensive criticism of others. They cling desperately to legal, righteousness, but envy, jealousy, and other sin grow out of their fundamental insecurity. So the next one is, we can get, like it mentioned there, pride, get a bit of an ego, believing that we can earn favor with God and that God loves us and accepts us because of our good works. But another thing that we can be rooted in is also fear. We can be rooted in the fear that if I don't, that I might go to hell if I don't believe in God or if I don't love God. And fear, if it motivates you, if that's your motivation, you're in it because you don't want to go to hell. And if there is a God and there is an afterlife, then I want to be on the right side and the right team. Then that motivation will change you for a little bit, but it's not going to last. Or you're just going to live in fear the whole time. The other one is you're motivated by reward. So you're motivated by the fact that you think that if you have God in your life, that you're going to prosper in every single area and that God will just bless you abundantly all the time. Or that you're just motivated by the fact that, yeah, if you die, you go to heaven. But we need to be motivated by grace, by something that has already been done, not by something that can happen in the future. Like Jesus has died and he's resurrected, and he died with your sin and he resurrected so that you can have new life. And that is our motivation as Christians. We're not motivated by fear and we're not motivated by reward. So what are the values of being rooted in religion? So we value morality. However, we know from the Pharisees in the Bible that they lacked grace and they lacked love. We value works like church attendance, ministry, and Bible reading. We value programs over relationship. So then what do our external things look like if we're rooted in religion? So again, our family and relationships, they'll have pressure on them to look successful, to look like the perfect Christian family. Our financial status, we accept God if things are going well, but question God when things don't go right. They don't get to know his character when things are going well in their life, So when things go badly, they don't know that he's trustworthy. In our work in our school, we're constantly working hard for affirmation. In our church and our ministry and Christian stuff, we think it's getting us closer to God. And we get annoyed when people who we consider to be less spiritual than us, when they get blessed by God. So I just want you to think again, where in my life am I rooted in religion? And do I know that I am loved by God? Am I sure in my salvation and where I stand with God? And am I focused on my relationship with God? And you may be thinking after this, after what I'm saying, is actually like, you know what, I think I'm okay. I don't think I'm rooted that much in religion. I don't think I'm rooted that much in the world. But the only person that has ever fully lived out their identity as a child of God is Jesus. And that's what we're going to look at now. And you might have known this little Bible verse from Galatians. It's quite a popular one. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So now I'm just going to take us in to look at what it looks like to be a child of God and be rooted in that as our identity. So first of all, we have God as our Father. We're secure in the fact that we are loved by God, and that's unconditional. There's no conditions that we need. It's just he loves us. That he pursues a love relationship with us, knowing that we accepted and that we have belonging. We have belonging in his family. And we know we're also rooted in knowing Jesus as a savior, as a friend, and as a Lord, and letting him take control in situations that we're in. Being rooted in God's word, being rooted in the Bible, and what that says about us, and what that says about God. And that's so, so important. Allowing it to be the loudest voice in our life, understanding it as a basis of our morality, of our value, and of our worth. We root ourselves in God's truth, believing his promises are true and that he is faithful to us. So then what do we value if we're rooted in our identity as a child of God? Well, we value people. We love people. Not because of what they think about us, but we value them because we love them. We value church attendance, ministry, and Bible reading because it brings us closer to God. We value what God has given us, and we want to honor God with those things, understanding that we haven't earned it, but God has blessed us. And then what does our family, our relationships, what do they all look like if we're rooted as a child of God? Well, in our family and relationships, we're loving, we're kind, and we're faithful in the good times and in the bad times. Our financial status doesn't mean that your financial situation is always going to be good, but it does mean he offers you peace in all situations and he provides for you everything that you need. In work, in our school, that we're patient with those people who might bother us, with our colleagues. We have self-control in different situations, that we're not quick to get anger. That we don't have anxiety, we don't have stress. We have peace. So our church, our ministry, our Christian stuff, we'll have joy in working for God. Not out of obligation, but because of God's love is flowing through us. So just take a second to think, what could my life look like if I was truly rooted as an identity, as a child of God? What will my family look like? What will my relationships? What will my work look like? And the reason that I've used this analogy as of a tree, and why I've kind of, this is going to fit, hopefully, things all together, is sometimes we try and clear up the branches and the leaves to make the tree look nice. We try to clear up the external things to make ourselves seem like we're okay. And something that I've struggled with in my own life is insecurity and anxiety, especially with people and friendships. And what I value in that is I value control, and I value what other people think of me a lot. And what is it rooted in? Well, actually, when I was younger, I had a very toxic friendship. I never knew where I stood. I believed the lie that I wasn't good enough, that I needed to be a certain way to fit in and have friends. Because someone didn't see my value, I thought that I had none. And just trying to be less insecure and trying to not have anxiety, just chopping off those branches will just mean that they all grow back. It will chop off initially, but it will grow back. And chopping it off by the trunk, it grows back slower. So instead, I'm just going to try and not value control and not value what other people think. If that's where I cut it off, then it's going to grow back slower, but it will. We need to de-root and be rooted in God. We need to de-root that lie that I'm not valuable. De-root that lie that I need to be a certain way to fit in. De-root that lie that my worth is based on what other people think about me. Recently, when I was unemployed in January, and sometimes God will give you a kind of a song for a season that you're in, and it really speaks to you. And there was a song called So Will I, and I listened to it quite a lot in that season. And there was one line that said, "And as you speak, a billion failures disappear." And I thought at this point I was quite a secure person, but being unemployed really got me down, made me feel like a failure. But when God speaks, those failures, they disappear. They go. And that lie that you're believing will go. And God speaks to you, and he speaks in truth. He always speaks good things to you. He doesn't call you a failure. He doesn't say that he doesn't accept you. He says that you're a child of God, that you're a son. You get an inheritance at the end. And to keep fighting the good fight, because he is with you. So I don't know what lies that you're believing. I don't know what's going on in your head, what you're rooted in. But if it's not a child of God, then you need to de-root it. We need to read the Bible. We need to read the Bible. It says so many good things about us. We need to spend time with God's people. We need to be vulnerable and accountable with each other. We need to seek help, not stay in that place of insecurity and try and fight this by yourself, because God has given you a church, he's given you a family, he's given you brothers and sisters, and he wants you to make the most of those people. So who are we going to be? Are we going to be a slave to the world? Nope. Are we going to be a slave to a religion? Nah. I'm going to be a child of God. Amen. Thanks. I'm just going to pray to close. Yeah, Father God, I do just pray that we will just acknowledge those things that we're rooted in. That we will just acknowledge the times in our lives, the things that have hurt us, that we are allowing to hurt, continue the pain, God, that we haven't got over those things. We haven't dealt with those things. And we're not vulnerable with those things with you, God. That we've closed ourselves off in some areas because the pain is so real. That there's things in our past that we're holding on to. That we're not giving up, God. But are rooted in bad things, God. Are rooted in the world and what people have done. Are rooted in the past and the failures and Yeah, what people have done to us, God, and we just pray that we will just deroot those things. And we will live out our identity as a child of God. That we will just know who we are, who you say we are. That we are chosen, that you love us, that you accept us, and you belong. Jesus, I just want to thank you for what you've done, the price you paid, that I can live in freedom, God. That I will not be a slave anymore, God. That I will choose to be a child of God. That unconditional love that you gave, God. We just thank you for it. And we pray that, yeah, we will just be moved into a deeper relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.